Bibles to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. We'll be in chapter 1, kind of covering several chapters, kind of getting the overview of today. We're going to finish our little mini-series on, Is God Really That Good? And so we've looked at Psalm 34, how to respond when life gets crazy. We've even challenged the faithfulness of God when it seems like He's let us down in Psalm 89. And when he seems like he hasn't kept his promises in our life, and we kind of have those doubtful moments, we have those moments to where it seems like he's just not responding to us. And so today we're going to look at one of my favorite books in the New Testament. It's all good. I understand that it's all profitable. It's all healthy for us. It's all good for us. But I love the book of Ephesians. Why? Because it just reminds us how blessed we really are. And so today we're just going to remind ourselves of those spiritual blessings and kind of prepare our hearts for communion today. And we're going to have communion on December the 20th coming up. It's hard to believe that three Sundays away after today is going to be Christmas. And so today is the first Sunday of Advent after Thanksgiving as we headed towards Christmas. So it's just great to be together and worshiping together. And just reminding ourselves of just how good he is. And because Paul, in the midst of writing this letter, was chained to a prison guard. And he's reminding himself of just all the spiritual blessings that he has just because he's linked with Jesus Christ. You know, he's chained to a guard, but he's simply saying in Philippians, I'm chained to someone greater, and that's Jesus Christ. And his word will continue to go out. It's not chained. And so we're going to look at some verses there this morning, just how blessed we are. I just want to thank our folks that helped with our shoe boxes last week. We had almost 1,400 shoe boxes come through the door. So thank you guys very, very much for that. I think over 90 big boxes we sent out these doors. We had to make two trips. So that was a great time to deliver those. And next year, I hope to be down in North Carolina. That's one of my goals, bucket list, one of these days maybe. We had a guy come in and talk about, he's been there for the last 15 years down in the big warehouse where they go through everything before it ships out. And he's like, you gotta go at least one time. He goes, they got pizza on demand anytime you want, coffee on demand. It's like, it's heaven on earth. Plus, he goes, plus you hear Christmas music all week long, and as you serve, he said it's just an amazing time. So, anyway, if it's put that on your bucket list to do down in North Carolina. I think they do it down in Atlanta now, so they may have changed that. So, anyway, put that on your bucket list, all right? All right, so three simple truths I want to just cover today. Three simple truths to help us understand the blessings of God. And the first truth is very simple. It's just to know how blessed of a people we really are. And Paul is reminding this church of just that fact. Sometimes we forget, right? In Psalm 103, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all his benefits. Sometimes we just tend to forget when life gets tough, life gets hard, we go through some trials, we tend to forget all the benefits that we have. And so we think about benefits for our job. Well, what does my job offer as benefits? And Jesus is like, well, nothing compares to my benefit plan. You know, I offer a whole lot more than just health care and 401, right? He takes good care of us all year long. And so there was two guys, and they loved to tailgate football games. So they traveled all over the U.S., college football, tailgated NFL football. This was before this year, of course. And so they tailgated every place they could think of. They were friends, and they just loved to do that. One was Catholic, and the other one was Protestant. And so one was like, oh, so what are we going to do now? We've tailgated all over the U.S. He goes, what are we going to do now? He goes, we've tailgated everywhere. He goes, well, there's one place I've always wanted to tailgate, and that is at the Vatican. He goes, well, that makes sense. You're Catholic. Let's do it. So they planned the trip, rented the truck, tailgated for 2 or 3 days at the Vatican in Rome. And so they were just waiting for the Pope to come out and on the balcony there and just say a few words. And they were just tailgating the whole time, doing cornhole, everything. And so one afternoon, one of the Vatican's attendants came out to get one of the guys and says, "Hey, the Pope wants to see one of you." And the friend goes, "Well, hey, you're Catholic. Why don't you go and see what's going on?" So the attendant takes him up there to the Pope's room. They walk out on the balcony. He walks out on the balcony with the Pope. And he sees the Pope bless his friend. And he's like, "I can't believe what I'm watching." He goes, "We get here, we tailgate, now my friend is on the balcony with the Pope, and the Pope is blessing him." He goes, "I can't believe what I'm seeing. This is a dream come true." And so friend comes back about an hour later, walks out to him, and he goes, "God, I can't believe what I just seen. The Pope blessed you." He goes, "Well, it probably looked like that, but that's not what happened." He's like, "Well, what did he say to you? What is it? Because I saw him do this, you know, the thing like this." And he goes, "Well, he told us simply this out there on the balcony. He said, 'I need you and your friend over there to quit tailgating off and get off the property.'" So he thought he was being blessed, but he really wasn't. So for those Catholic friends watching, please don't take heart to that, okay? Let's look at verse 3, and let's go down to verse 10. Verse 3 to 10. Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Wow. Think about that just for a moment. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. When we give thanks at Thanksgiving, normally we just give thanks for earthly things. Thankful for our health, thankful for our families, thankful for jobs, whatever it might be. We think kind of earthly, and so Paul is like, "Let me just give you a heavenly calendar, a heavenly menu of what your spiritual blessings are that you get to eat from. They get to enjoy every spiritual blessing in Christ." Verse 4, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and goodwill, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth under one head, even Christ." Wow. This is a mouthful. We're going to break that down a little bit. And so what Paul is simply saying, he gives a list of those spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. And so to understand how blessed we really are, he starts off with it, well, in love he chose you. Before the creation of the world, he chose you to be adopted in Christ, to be one of his sons, one of his daughters. Now think about that just for a moment. Paul says, beginning before creation, before the foundation of the earth, God had this plan that he's going to work out. It's going to happen in real time in our life. But God had it already pre-planned way in advance. And it hit your life the moment you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Isn't that an amazing thought that, hey, when I was 17 is when I accepted Christ. But that really, it was already in the mind and heart of God before the creation of the world. That just kind of blows my mind a little bit, doesn't it, yours? That God is that infinite in his thinking and perspective, that he had me, part of his family, in mind when he died for me on the cross. Wow. It's an amazing blessing. Amazing blessing. So Paul is, as he's sitting there in this prison cell, he's thinking about that thought. You know, I'm at where I'm at because of Christ, but I was way back when too as well, in the heart of God. He adopted us as his sons, and therefore being adopted, we carry his name, right? And so we're brought into the family, so we have the family inheritance, we carry the family name, the family blessing, because we're linked to God's Son. Another amazing blessing. You know, the amazing blessing about being adopted, Lucas, is we chose you, right? You know, we chose you. God had that in place, you know? I could have been born with an ugly kid. But no, we chose for adoption. No, we love you, Lucas. He's working at McDonald's now, so if you need a free milkshake, just come by and see him. Just kidding. He is working at McDonald's, though. That's a good thing. He loves McDonald's. But notice it says, out of grace and in love, he lavished on us. He lavished on us. His goodness, his purpose, his grace. God didn't just give us a little bit of his grace. Think about that. He didn't just give us a half measure. He didn't give us 3/4 of a cup. He gave us the full running over, lavished ingredients of his grace on your life. It's like, well, what is grace? It's unmerited favor. Things that you didn't deserve, but you got because you're linked with Christ. God's favor goes way beyond this life. Psalms, it says, his favor endures forever. God's going to continually lavish your life forever. All because he loves you. I hope you let that sink in a little bit. So from beginning to end and to forever, we have been loved, infinitely and perfectly loved by our God. That's an amazing, amazing truth. It says, in Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We've been redeemed, we've been purchased. And through that purchase, Christ has forgiven us every single sin. So when we meet Jesus in heaven one day, we're not going to give an account of our sin. That's been dealt with on the cross. We're going to give an account of what we've done for Christ. Amen? What we've done for Christ. And Paul is simply saying, I'm writing these things to help you understand where time was back, but also where time is going to be in fulfillment. Where are things going? You ever ask yourself that question? Where are things headed? What's 2021 going to look like? A lot of us are like, big question mark, right? Big question mark. A lot of things could be at play. But guess where really everything's going? Paul says, right under the feet of Jesus. Because the king is coming back. Amen? The king is coming back and he's going to rule and there's going to be one government and it's going to be full of peace. Amen? But he wants us to understand that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ and it's at the feet of Christ. And God's plan is for the Jew and Gentile alike. And so in verses 11 to 14, he says, in him we, talking about the Jewish followers, he says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity to the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also, talking to the Gentiles, and you also were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. What a mouthful, right? A lot of people ask me, what about God's sovereignty and free will? How do they blend together? Because it talks about predestination. It talks about being chosen before the foundation of the world. But then where does free will come into play? Am I just a robot? No. There's three aspects to a person becoming saved. Paul says it in verse 13. We have to hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. People have to hear the truth in order to be saved. Right? That's our role, is to get Jesus to people and share the hope of Jesus to people. People have to hear, and so faith comes by hearing, Paul says in Romans 10, verse 17, right? So people have to hear and understand the gospel. Then they have to make the moment of belief, that crisis moment of belief. I have to choose to believe in Christ once I have all my questions answered. There has to come that moment. And once we've put our faith and trust in Christ, then the Holy Spirit comes in our life. So the Holy Spirit has to be at work as well. We must be born again, right? Jesus says in John chapter 3, by the Holy Spirit, by knowing how much he loves us. So those three things, people have to hear the gospel, people must believe, and the Holy Spirit must be at work. And then notice verse 15, he goes, well, what is the evidence that I'm truly saved? Well, the work of the Holy Spirit, number one, but secondly, I have a love for all the saints. This love that I've received from God, I now have to my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love these people. I may not know them on a different level, but I naturally love them because we're all linked to Jesus, right? You ever been on vacation or in an airplane or something, or going somewhere and you meet another Christian? It's like you met him not for the first time. It's like, hey, we've known each other. You're a follower of Christ. So you get to talking to him. It's like, yeah. And you just know him really quick. But you have a love for all the people. And 1 John goes into more detail. The book of 1 John goes into great detail about the assurance of our salvation, the work of the Holy Spirit, and our love for people. But people who know how blessed we are, we have an inheritance that is coming our way. A deposit guaranteeing it. That's the Holy Spirit. So we have a little bit of heaven guaranteeing that we have something in heaven. Don't you love that? One kid just tried to describe the blessings of God. He says, it's like an elevator. The upstairs came down. God, and he's the one upstairs, and he just unloaded everything down for us in Christ Jesus. It's a neat little way to explain it, isn't it? The upstairs came down. Secondly, a people who know their God better. We want to be a people who know the blessings of God and appreciate and are thankful for the blessings of God, but do you know what the hand of God of provision really ought to do for us? To know the heart of God. So the hand of God provides for us, right? But it's a reflection of his heart. It's an extension of his heart. So if we're just thankful for his blessings without being thankful for him, we have to be careful of that. Why? Because the blessings ought to reflect back to his heart. And we understand, man, he is a gracious and kind and generous God who provides for us. Everything that comes from his hand flows from his heart to me. And so if God is for us and his goodness is for us and his arm and his hand, it is just an extension of that, right? But to know God better. And so Paul in his prayer at the end of chapter 1 here, verses 16, he says, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Paul is praying for us to know him better, right? That God would give us more of the Holy Spirit of insight and understanding so we know him better. So the blessings of God ought to point us to know him better, right? There's a little song we used to sing when I was little called I Love Him Better Every D-A-Y. Anybody know this song? This little nursery song? Yeah, you know it. All right, some of you know it. I love him better every day. Close by is S-I-D-E. I will be I-D-E. I love him better every day. That's my version of it, right? And so here's the goal. My goal is to know him better every day. Every day. So you're saying, Andy, should every Christian be like a systematic theology professor? That's not what I'm saying. It's not book knowledge. Yes, we get truth to help us understand him better, but it's intimate knowing. That's right. I can know a lot of things about my wife, but there's a love that longs to know her. Right? That's the knowledge that he's wanting us to know. It's like, know him intimately better. Some years you're going to find that God is your peace. It's like, man, I've had a tough year, but God, I just know him as my peacemaker. He is my peace giver. Some years you're going to know, man, God's been my comfort. He's been my rock this year, right? So you come to know him sometimes through the hard times. And this year, God has been my comforter. And the Holy Spirit is called the comforter, right? And so we have the Holy Spirit within us, so God is working comfort in and through us all the time. I love it when Jesus told the disciples, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to give you someone greater, someone just like me, the promised Holy Spirit. And he's going to bring you comfort like no other. It's heaven's gift to you in this life. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to reveal more of me to you. He's going to help you pray. He's going to help you understand the word. He's going to help you do so much. But I know him differently this year. Does that make sense? I know him differently. And I hope you know him better through all of this. Paul prays that we know him better. Not just know God better, but know also verse 18, he goes, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe, that resurrection power which God exerted in raising Christ from the dead and seated him at heavenly places. So the moment we were saved, Paul says, you were once dead in your sins in chapter 2, but now you've been seated with Christ in heavenly places. Isn't that an amazing thought that God's throne is so big that he seats all his kids there? That's our position in Christ. The same power that God used to raise his son come home is the same power at work in us. That same power. And Paul's like, I want you to see it. Do you see it? Open your eyes of your heart to see this. The reason why we struggle down here is because we don't see up there how gloriously blessed and rich we are in Christ. John Piper says we play with dirt when we have diamonds in the drawer. Oh, that we would see the hope that he's called us to. I think if we realized how rich we were in Christ, we wouldn't want to touch anything else. We would instantly know that we need, hey, that's not of God. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say that. Because I know who I am in Christ. My identity. And Paul says, I want you to know God better. I want you to know his blessings better. So in chapter 3, Paul says, it's been given to me this mystery to tell the churches the unsearchable riches of Christ. So in this letter, he describes all of the riches of Christ to us without even probably realizing it. But this mystery was given to Paul to tell us just how blessed we really are. Paul says in Philippians 3, he says, it's my prayer that I want to know Christ, which surpasses everything else. Everything else is garbage compared to knowing Jesus, my Lord. There's nothing sweeter, there's nothing greater, there's nothing more beautiful than a relationship with Jesus. Amen? There's just nothing compares to it. I think that's part of why life is so empty down here sometimes, because God's like, hey, it's empty for a reason. Only I can feel the longing that you're really longing for. Only I can do that. Let me do that. Oh, that we would know him better. Jesus even prayed in John 17, verse 3, that we would know him better. Isn't that amazing that Jesus prays that we'd know him better? The very last thought and prayer on his life was that we'd know him better. He prays for our protection. He prays for our peace and love to increase for one another. But I hope we have a different longing after today. To have that same passion that Paul says, you know, I want to know Jesus better. I want to know him like never before. And so this Christmas, this next season, this short miniseries, we're just going to call it Tis the Season. We're just going to get to know Jesus better. From his birth to different aspects of his life, we're just going to get to know Jesus better. Why? Because he's what Christmas is all about, right? They can take down the Charlie Brown Christmas story, but they ain't taking Jesus out of the Bible, amen? Yeah. You know, the other aspect Paul is writing these blessings is because once we understand the blessings and who we are in Christ and know God better, here's the key thing, then we treat other people better. You ever notice that? When you see how blessed you really are, then you just want to be a blessing to other people. Once you realize just how much you've been forgiven, you're quicker more to forgive and less likely to hold grudges. Then thirdly, a people who know just how much they're loved. So this is one of my favorite portions, one of my favorite prayers of Paul in chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 16. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, there's that word again. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, in your soul, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of what? It's the love of Christ. And to know this love, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Like Andy, that's unattainable, to be filled with all the measure of the fullness of God. It's like, no, it's not. No, it's not. God has placed everything. You have every spiritual blessing. You lack nothing in your life in godliness. But it's up to you to fill your hearts and minds and bodies and souls with it. You have a role in that. And so when you ask the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Spirit, guess what he does? He fills us. Halfway, three-quarter way to the fullness. God never gives just a little bit. That's not like him, amen? He didn't put just a little bit of mashed potatoes on your plate. He didn't put just a little bit of turkey noodles on your plate. He heaps it up there. I want you to eat it. There are three things that people struggle with in this survey. It says people struggle with purpose, people struggle with security, and people struggle with how much they are loved. Do they really belong somewhere? It's a great perspective, right? And so Paul is telling us, hey, we have a purpose in Christ. He's telling us that we belong in Christ, and now how much we're loved by Christ. He says you can't measure You can't go high enough. You can't go far enough. You can't go deep enough to discover it. I think Psalm 103 says, as far as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. It's how high, how vast. If God has loved us from the very beginning, he's going to love us to the very end, into eternity on. We can't measure that, right? We can't measure that. But I want you to know, Paul says, I want you to know with all the saints just how much you're loved. Jesus, we're going to partake of his supper today, the Lord's supper that he's prepared for us. We get to eat of his blessings, the bread of his body, the blood that came from his life. We get to remember just how much we're loved. And Jesus set this up for a reminder, right? He says, do this in remembrance of me. Remember that I laid down my life for you. Remember I cried out for you. I suffered for you. I stood in your place for you. I did everything. I've created everything for you to enjoy, but I also created spiritual blessings for you to enjoy too. I want you to know that you're forgiven. I want you to know you're sealed. I want you to know you're loved. I want you to know you're redeemed. Do you know that? Deep within, do you know that? If you know that, then you have the greatest treasure on this earth. Right? So Mary, when the angel came to Mary and told her all these things about Jesus, it says Mary treasured all these things in her heart. Remember that little phrase in Luke's gospel? Mary just treasured, man, I just can't believe what I'm hearing. I'm going to treasure these things about what they're saying about my the Son is coming. And that's what we have to do with God's Word. We have to treasure. Say, Lord, I can't believe what you're saying about me. It's hard to grasp sometimes, isn't it? But when I treasure it, right? I don't understand electricity, but it doesn't keep me from turning the light on, right? I don't mess with it either. I'm just afraid of getting shocked. You know, I'm still getting little twitches every now and again. Just, but to know how much we're loved. So I want us to come away with this next slide. This is how we ought to feel when we grasp the first three chapters of Ephesians. Where we just are like, we're lost in the blessings of God. It's like, man, we can't even fathom all that he has in store for us. And you're just like, I am so thankful. And that's where God wants us to be. To enjoy his blessings, to enjoy him, to enjoy his word, his promises, everything that he has in store for us, and say, Lord, just thank you. I do not deserve one bit, one tablespoon of your grace. None of us do. But we're thankful for it. This past week was National Bible Week, and we have a reading passage for December to start to read. It's back there on the table. And just for you to read through December, we're going to be supporting Bible.is, and that faith comes by hearing that we talked about last weekend, getting the Bibles to all the ends of the earth and to our military people this Christmas. And so we want to raise some money towards that. But I found this next quote in my dad's Bible, flipping through my dad's Bible. And it says, to know him is to love him, and to love him is to trust him. To trust him is to obey him, and to obey him will bring his blessings. And the final years of my dad's life in the last 4 years, he went through 3 different Bibles. Every single day for 4 years, he met with God and wrote a devotional journal. Just short little paragraph, maybe a couple paragraphs. But every single day. Wow. My uncle said, I think, Andy, your dad was getting so close to Jesus that God just says, come on up. Just come on up. And here's what I want to end with as the praise team comes up. Moses was given these words to tell Aaron. Hey, when you bless the people, this is what I want you to tell them. This is found in Numbers, book of Numbers. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Isn't that a great blessing? To see the smile of God on our life. The Lord would just give us his peace. And be gracious to you. Father, we thank you for that blessing today. Thank you that we have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Lord, we come before you humbly and thankfully. So in awe of what you've done for us. Lord, the least we could do is just to know you better and to walk with you and to love you back and to love one another. So Lord, help us do that better as we think about Christmas coming up. Help us to know Jesus better. Help us to be a blessing to those around us. Because we have been so blessed this year. Just because of Jesus, we're so blessed. We just want to tell you we love you today. We're so thankful for you. And so proud that we are your children during this time. So Lord, we love you again. In Jesus' name, amen.